The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love your show.
Morning, Jen and Grant. I listen to you guys all the time.
Both of you guys are fantastic, and I love that.
I thank the good Lord above for your program.
I was not a fan of radio, and I really appreciate what you guys do.
Best radio show out there, period. End of story.
The Morning Answer is on.
Yes, we are, and semi-ready to go for Friday. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinch.
I just had a coffee emergency. My goodness. My cup sprung a leak. So thank you to the quick thinking of Hot Chocolate Jose. And between the two of us, I think we have avoided a big crisis in the studio. So thank you, Hot Chocolate. All right, let's start.
Everybody running around, coffee flying all over the place.
Did you hear me say, oh, it's a coffee emergency?
Oh, no. How does it go?
Oh, no. A coffee emergency. That's my liberal white lady who many of you have probably heard on the program. All right.
Hey, can I start off the program with a very sad story?
Oh, sure.
So we're 2 days out from Memorial Day, right?
Yes.
Which is really a day where I think we need to take pause. You don't need to stop your entire day, but you need to take pause and think about the men and women who died for this country. So I'm wearing my Freedom T-shirt.
It's
I decided to walk down to 7-Eleven, and I'm walking back, and there's an older gentleman with a beard who totally looks like a liberal, and he says to me, "Freedom's just people talking."
Oh, good Lord.
And I looked at him and I said, this is literally just 5-10 minutes ago. I said, what? "Freedom's just people talking. It's an Eagles song." Oh. I said, yeah, some people died for this country.
Yeah.
For that. He says, they died for something else. I said, oh, man, you're 2 days out from Memorial Day.
What are you doing?
And he's walking the other way. He goes, we're not free in this country. I said, yeah, thanks to the Democrats.
Oh.
And he says, oh, bull.
Uh-oh.
And so I said, you know what, dude? It's 2 days from Memorial Day. You're an effing loser. You really are. Get a grip. And I kept walking.
And did he do anything?
Nope, he just kept walking.
Huh.
It's very sad, though. So as I was leaving, you know, walking away, I'm like, you know, here I am. Like, I love this country. And I yelled back at him. I said, this is the greatest nation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I yelled back at him. And I think that's what we're up against. We're against people who hate everything that we do. Doesn't think we're free, not because Democrats have us under tyrannical rule. They don't think we're free, I guess, because they don't get enough stuff from us.
I think that freedom is one of those trigger words now, where it used to be what this country was about, what every political party fought for. Now it's about somehow triggering the left because freedom is a right-wing extremist word.
Why do you think
really
I wear
crazy.
It on my shirt?
Glad you do. It's a nice shirt, too, by the way. Did you hear me, Sam? It looks good.
You can get them at GrantStinchfield.com.
Definitely not at Target. So GrantStinchfield.com is where you can find the Freedom shirts. Well, this is also not great news. Grant, yesterday on the program we talked about, well, for weeks we've been talking about the problem on the Metro, but yesterday we were talking about a bus driver who was stabbed multiple times, ended up in critical condition in the hospital, and they were still looking for the suspect. Remember, the police believed him to be a younger man, like 21 years old.
Right.
Turns out this was a 17-year-old. And they found him. The suspect was arrested Thursday afternoon, according to Chief Michael Moore at a press conference. This attack happened on Wednesday afternoon around 5 o'clock, broad daylight, Topanga Canyon in Irwin, near the mall, actually, according to the police department. Officials said once the suspect got on the bus, he immediately got into an argument with the driver. The suspect and the driver exited the vehicle. As the argument continued, the suspect pulled out a knife and stabbed the driver multiple times in the chest and the back.
This is the bus driver?
The bus driver got stabbed by this 17-year-old.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
The bus driver. We were just talking about how the bus drivers yesterday.
Yeah, remember? And this is the follow-up to that story.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
I thought it was another bus
driver. The arrest
was
made. Remember, we thought the suspect was a 21-year-old. So now we find out it's actually a 17-year-old. This, I think, is incredibly sad. These are children wandering around the streets with knives, stabbing people, putting them into the hospital in critical condition. According to Chief Moore, he said that they understood that the driver arrived with a fully functional bus. The individual got in and that there was a dispute. Both exited the vehicle and while outside, that's when the attack happened. There were photos, however, from inside the bus, and they were able to send those around on multiple. You look at Instagram, you looked everywhere in Los Angeles, you saw this guy, and he was arrested 22 hours after the crime occurred. He was arrested at his home, booked on a charge of attempted murder. His name is not being released because he is a minor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, this guy's still in critical condition. He had to undergo heart surgery. He had abdominal surgery. His heart had to be stopped for several minutes during the procedure in order for them to complete it. And this guy's fighting to recover while a 17-year-old kid's walking around stabbing people on a bus.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
That kind of thing is just, you know, people have no regard for human life. People have no regard for law enforcement and the consequences of their actions, because usually there aren't anymore. And now you got this bus driver, and he's in, what, critical condition?
Yeah. He had to have heart surgery.
How's he still alive?
I don't know. Heart surgery, abdominal surgery. They have to stop his heart during the procedures. It's ridiculous. And this is, I think it makes it even worse and more infuriating to me that this is a 17-year-old.
What These are literally animals happening? Running around.
Yeah, running free with no law and order, no nothing. Yeah. All right, well, let's switch gears to politics in California, shall we, Grant? There was a survey out done by UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, and they did it all about the California Senate seat. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Two-thirds of registered voters in California think that Dianne Feinstein is no longer fit to continue serving as senator.
Well, how are you?
What is the other one third watching?
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, when you see her, I've been here working, she says. No, yeah. You haven't. You've been gone for a month or more. How long was she gone?
She was gone for what? I think at least 4 months.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that. So she says, no, she's been there the whole time. Then she says, where are we going? Is it getting pushed towards the United States? How do you think she's fit?
It's so sad. I mean, she just looks like she's in terrible shape. Poor thing. It's pretty tragic. And the fact that she doesn't remember that she was gone, pretty bad. And it's made it out into the public. So two-thirds of California registered voters say that they think that she's no longer fit. Now, this is where it gets strange or interesting, maybe. Support for her resignation and the appointment of a replacement by the governor is greatest amongst fellow Democrats and liberals, who favor that outcome greater than 2-1. So Republicans and strong conservatives oppose her resignation because it would allow Newsom to appoint her successor. So isn't that funny? Kind of the same flavor in my gut is exactly what other Republicans are feeling. Just let her finish it out. Let it be a new process. But Democrats love the idea of Gavin Newsom getting to appoint someone. And remember yesterday we talked about the story that's being floated. He could appoint Oprah Winfrey to the Senate.
Which I'm for. Of all the people he could appoint, I would take Oprah Winfrey.
It's funny. I'm with you on that. I was on with Steve Hilton. I actually talked myself into the idea of Oprah Winfrey, because we already know no matter who Gavin Newsom would appoint, they're all going to vote with the Democrats in the Senate. It doesn't matter, right?
You know, I have a theory about Oprah Winfrey.
Tell me.
She's so concerned with her image, she can't go up there and act like a tough witch.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Right? So she's so concerned about her image. She can't do anything radical because she still has a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate that she's running.
Right.
So maybe she'd just go up there, smile, make a few people cry, and then...
Well, I also think what makes her different than Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, and Barbara Lee is that she's run a business, a really successful one. So that would lead me to believe that if there were four people on the ballot, and if it were if it were Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, Barbara Lee, and Oprah Winfrey, I'd vote for Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
I
mean, you know, honestly, I don't know if I'm voting for any of them.
Well, that's the point. But if they had, like, someone had a gun to your head, so you have to pick one of these.
I did. I had to vote for the Dallas mayor a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously, he's just a left-wing lunatic. So I was able to write in. So I wrote in my very special lady friend's name.
Oh, that's very nice. Good for you. Yeah. All right. So what do you guys think about all of this? What do you think about Oprah being appointed? Should Feinstein resign? 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. And as we continue, new polling has got some good news for our friend Eric Early. We'll tell you about that as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Freedom of speech lives here. It's the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
It sure is. We're finally at a Friday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And a new poll from UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies found that 2/3 of registered voters in California say that Dianne Feinstein, the senator, should no longer or is no longer fit to continue to serve as senator. Now, more Democrats than Republicans, in fact, 2-1 is the number, support the idea of Feinstein resigning and Gavin Newsom getting to appoint someone. The idea has been floated that Oprah Winfrey would be one of those people to avoid him having to pick favorites between Barbara Lee, Adam Schiff, and Katie Porter, all members of Congress that are in this race for the Senate seat. Oprah apparently has said she's not interested, but, you know, they always say that, right?
Right, right, right.
But there's a new poll out.
How could she not be interested?
Of course
she's interested. You know how fun that would be?
Especially if you said, you know what I would do? If I were Oprah and I really was serious about not wanting to do it, I'd say, sure, if she resigns, I'll do it for a year while someone else gets elected. How fun would it be to just go be a senator and give zero you-know-whats and just hang out there for a year?
Yeah.
I guarantee you she would love it and she'd probably want to stay.
And then you could be called senator for the rest of your life. I mean, I would love that.
Senator Oprah. I mean, come on. Come on.
You know, I would make you call me senator.
Like, I would if I call did this, you that.
And I come back to the show after being senator.
Yeah. It would be
would
the morning
say,
answer.
What do you think, senator?
It'd be the morning answer with Jen and senator.
Right. How great would it be?
I mean,
I'd
you
still
earned
let
the title.
You run it. I would still let you run it.
Well, listen, I'd still let you run it. Look, I think that it would be nice to have the title, right?
Yeah.
And if you're going to earn it, you might as well keep it.
I'm not joking when I tell you this, folks, and I want everyone to listen very carefully. You are not going to get a less radical Democrat than Oprah.
No.
So if you want a senator, because it could be brutal who they send there.
Think about the choices. Barbara Lee.
Oh.
Adam Schiff. And Katie Porter.
Oh.
Oprah looks great compared to those three.
Talk about gut punches.
Yeah. All of them. Okay, so there is a poll out, though. This Berkeley poll asked, okay, if voters, who do you plan to vote for to fill Dianne Feinstein's seat whenever she leaves? And I got to tell you something. It's not the best news, but it's great news. Our pal, Eric Early, who's running as the Republican, is leading the pack right now. First place, baby.
How could this be?
Because there's three other Democrats in the race. They're all clawing support from each other. Hello, this is why I keep saying no other Republican should jump into this race. Eric Early is running with 18% support at the top of the list. Katie Porter had 17%. Adam Schiff had 14%. And Barbara Lee back at 9%.
Mm.
Yeah. But see, here's the silver lining is that Eric Early is on top of the polls. The bad news, so if you start combining Democrats against Eric Early, you realize that he's grossly outplayed. But this is actually really good for the top two primary situation because you get Eric Early in there, then he's going to start getting to fundraise. He's actually maybe, you know, he'll be able to do some good in that position. And we'd have a choice at least. We could vote for Eric Early instead of Adam Schiff, which is It couldn't be done for me. I would just have to skip the category.
No, I mean, I don't think, is anybody really voting for one of those people? I wouldn't.
Of course, some they will if they're on the ballot.
If I'm a Republican and there's only Democrats on the ballot, it's the one time I guess I don't vote.
Seriously, I never skip a category because I think that's Loserville. I'd have to skip. Yeah. Have to. The only one strategically I would vote for, and she's terrible, is Barbara Lee, but she's also 80 years old. So I would vote for her because old Schiff and Katie Porter could be around for decades. So I just play the numbers game. If you need a stretch, how sad is that? Vote for the oldest possible person because there'll be less of a reign of terror. 855-785-8255. Guys, what do you think about all of this? Pretty interesting to see Eric Greeley at the top. And there's been some rumblings that other Republicans will jump into the race, like Steve Garvey, the former baseball player, like Rob Lowe, the actor. Just stay out at this point. It's late. Let Eric Greeley stick in it. Be the only one. We got a good thing going.
Yeah.
Right?
I wish they would do that. I don't think they will.
Ego just kills everything in the Republican Party. That's the real issue. Now, it is Memorial Day weekend, you mentioned earlier on. And, of course, we always want to tell people, have a meaningful Memorial Day. Take some time to count your blessings for the people who have sacrificed their life to allow you to say some of the stupid things that we get to say every day here on the radio.
Yeah.
It is also the unofficial start to summer. A lot of people are leaving town early to try to extend their three-day weekend. Well, that is the same for Joe Biden, who is supposed to be negotiating a debt ceiling agreement with Republicans. He left to go on vacation. The Republicans have been sent home because there's no deal imminent. So the Congress is out of session. They have to return within 24 hours if they get the call from the speaker. As McCarthy left the Capitol yesterday, he acknowledged that there is no agreement yet. And of course, as Biden is leaving the White House, he just ignores the questions about the debt ceiling.
President, can you get a deal done by the end of the week?
I'm sorry, what? Hello? Can we get a deal done?
Democrats, they can support a final deal, Mr. President.
Anything? Is the music too loud?
He's saying something there. He said something. What did he say?
Hot Chocolate Jose, you are raising your finger. That means you want to come to the microphone. We always welcome you. You don't even have to raise your hand.
He's playing the whole like band.
He's doing what?
That was his response. He's playing all the instruments.
That's right. He's a one-man band.
He's a one-man band.
Oh, man. Well, he also said that he reduced the deficit, which is a big fat lie. We know this, but he loves to repeat it.
I reduced the deficit. I said $1.7 trillion in my first 2 years without raising a cent and raising taxes above anyone making less than $400,000.
Yeah. Wrong.
Right?
On all of it.
On multiple
literally,
counts.
They literally make it up as they go. So I had my buddy Matt Gaetz on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both in agreement that we want Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary,
yeah,
to open the books, to show us America's QuickBooks.
I agree with you. We need transparency.
I want to see why, where we're out of money. And you know, Matt made a great point.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, come the 15th of June, we are owed quarterly payments. So all the businesses that make their quarterly tax payments, June 15th, there'll be a massive flow of money coming
in. Yeah, I just sent mine yesterday, actually.
There you go. So bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yet it's going to be doomsday. Just keep listening to the mainstream media. It's doomsday. It's going to be terrible.
Doomsday.
Doomsday. All right. 855-785-8255. That's the number to call. You can chime in on the debt ceiling, on the race for Senate here in California. And are you ready for this? How much money did Ron DeSantis make in his first 24 hours in the race? We have an update for you in your 2024 election update after we check the roads and your headlines. Larry Marino standing by as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Does she have a lasso of truth and an invisible airplane? Does he really do donuts in an 18-wheeler? There's only one way to find out. Listen to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Thank you, Dr. G. Check out America First today, 12 noon, AM 870, 8 p.m., AM 590. The Answer, you have found us. We are The Morning Answer, now live streaming at AM870theanswer.com. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And, you know, we are getting close. Things are heating up, especially after the big week's announcement that Ron DeSantis is jumping into the race. We've got our 2024 election update for you.
Battle lines are being drawn. Election 2024. It's heating up. Here is your 2024 election update.
So a wise man once told me, Grant, that it is all about the Benjamins.
Yeah.
And it is. The money matters in politics. And even though Ron DeSantis' campaign started like this.
Now it's quiet. And we want to welcome you to this historic Twitter Spaces event and more broadly, a first in the history of social media. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce two individuals who've done more to loosen the grip. Hey, sorry about that. We've got so many people here.
So let's see.
So they just keep crashing, huh?
All right. My well, it's certainly an incredible honor to have Governor DeSantis make this historic announcement.
Oh God, that was Jen calling in with her Skype call.
I did. I was like, Elon, yo. Hello.
I thought the best part was the fax machine.
That's nice. Yeah, that was great. Like the AOL dial-up sound that obviously is still connecting at Twitter. Yeah. So even though it was a little bungled rollout, the Florida governor has made $8.2 million in his first 24 hours after announcing his presidential campaign. That's a lot of money. In the first 24 hours, that includes online donations and money raised by fundraisers at a gathering in Miami to dial for contributions. And the breakdown of how much was made from each source, individuals or big donors, is unclear. But $8.2 million is not bad for a campaign load in 24 hours.
No, that's $18
million. $8.2 million.
Oh, gosh, I thought you said $18 million. I was like,
no.
What?
No.
Mm-mm. No. No. Still, $8 million is pretty good. What was it that Trump brought in?
Well, $9.5 million, but in his first 6 months. And then he catapulted after the Alvin Bragg prosecution. DeSantis does do better than Biden, whose first day fundraising haul was pretty good, $6.3 million on day one of his 2020 campaign launch. So this is the most any candidate has made in a 24-hour period. Yeah, we knew. I'm really curious. I would love to see the breakdown between big donors and regular old folks like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because I would suspect that DeSantis has a lot of big donors behind him. I don't know if all of that money came from the excited people listening to him. I don't know. I could be wrong. It's just my gut instinct.
I don't know either. I wonder. You know, President Trump had small donors, which was really the key to how much support you have.
That's why I would love to see the breakdown, and maybe we'll get it because it has only been 24 hours. I won't demand it right away, but at some point I'd like to see where all the money came from for Ron DeSantis, for sure.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Now, he is expected. Oh, in fact, it's like he heard us talking about him. He just took the stage in Orlando, Florida. We'll jump into it right now. Take a quick listen to the first official campaign speech of Ron DeSantis.
Economy open. But you absolutely should be out protesting regardless of COVID. And that's when you knew this was all a total fraud. They were using political ideology and they were trying to control your behavior. They wanted to lock the kids out of school, not because it was too dangerous to have the kids in school, because they didn't want to have kids in school. And so we showed and we really blew up that entire narrative in the state of Florida by standing against it. Obviously, when you saw the rioting going on in Minneapolis, I didn't just sit there and do nothing. I called out our National Guard. We were not going to let Florida cities burn down, and that did not happen here, and it will never happen here. And so we have to be honest about the destruction that we have seen throughout our country over the last 3 years, particularly in these urban areas that turn their back on our school children and put the interests of school unions ahead of the interests of parents and students. And education's an important issue. As a governor, I know how important it is for the state, but I also look at it through the lens of being a father of a 6, a 5, and a 3-year-old. And my wife and I we really believe in our bones in the rights of parents to direct the education and upbringing of their kids.
So that is a little bit from the first official campaign speech from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
You know, look, he gives good speeches. He's fine. Everything he says is fine. He basically copied President Trump, just about all his policies, his push for freedom. So now here's my question, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a rhino, as we're being told? I don't know if he's a rhino, but here's what I do know. The establishment money, the donor class, they hate President Trump, even the Republican donor class.
Oh, yeah.
Hates President Trump. So you know what? They know their option is Ron DeSantis. So they're going to flood Ron DeSantis with money. It doesn't necessarily mean he is an establishment rhino. Like, I don't know. I'm questionable on calling him that.
But I do think that's the fear of a lot of Republicans who are in find themselves once again in the Trump camp, is that they think, okay, it is another group of people who do not want President Trump to be in that office, who are afraid of what he might do. And so they're going past the guy that they think they can control. And so I'm not saying that that is Ron DeSantis' fault, but I am saying that is one thing he's going to have to overcome. One of many things he's going to have to overcome to close the gap between Trump and himself, which is now at, what, 30 or 40 points, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of ground to make up. But it's so early,
yep.
too.
We haven't even hit a debate. We still have a long summer. The convention's not till next summer. There's still literally a year from now. We'll be still talking through primaries, and we'll see who reaches the top of the list after all is said and done.
I'll tell you what, though.
Mm-hmm.
A debate between Trump and DeSantis, it's not going to be just Trump steamrolls the guy.
No.
DeSantis is a smart dude.
Well, I don't think that you are going to see Trump on the first debate stage, to be quite honest. I think Trump will probably there's been a lot of talk around the fact that he may not do the first debate. And really, he doesn't have to, because he is – you could already put yourself up as the front runner, as the former president. I don't really think that he needs to be on the first debate stage. Remember, we did a whole topic about this, about whether or not he should debate. I don't think – people should really miss opportunities to do that. But at the same time, if you want to already look like the president, you don't show up for the first one. You let all the other 10 people fight it out, and then maybe you show up for the second one.
I think you show up for the first one.
Remember we did this whole topic?
Yeah. What did I say then? Did I change my mind?
That he doesn't have to show up, I think.
I did? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, look, I guess I
we're
I
allowed
go
to
with
change our minds. It's okay.
Whatever I'm feeling in the morning.
Yeah, you got to go with your gut.
Now that he's in, though, and I don't know, I think it's changed since the last time we talked, because I feel like the man is now has such resolve.
Mm-hmm.
He wants payback so bad. I just want him in the ring. I want him in the arena.
And ready to go. For sure.
Like a gladiator.
All right. Ron DeSantis was on with Clay and Buck and had this to say about whether or not he would pardon Donald Trump.
Would you look at potentially pardoning Trump himself based on the evidence that might emerge of those charges?
The DOJ and FBI have been weaponized. We see that. We see it in a variety of contexts, some of which you mentioned. Some of it is the FBI going after parents going to school board meetings. Some of it's how they treat a pro-life demonstrator, how they don't go after people that are attacking pro-lifers. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization or political targeting. And we will be aggressive at issuing pardons.
Says he'll be aggressive in issuing pardons.
Well, it would be great, right? If he could pardon Trump or whatever.
Well, it's what you want to hear in the aftermath of the guy who was running the Oath Keepers getting 18 years in prison, and he wasn't even at January 6th. He wasn't even at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Come on.
18
right. years? You can murder someone in California and you're out wandering around after four months.
It's such baloney.
Yeah.
Really is. And it's a travesty of justice.
855-785-8255. As we continue, bail gone again in Los Angeles. Our friend Steve Hilton will join us with all the latest as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Breaking news and expert commentary. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thank you for joining us Friday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And joining us right now, once I find my mouth. Oh, our buddy, yes. Steve Hilton is here. I've got to explain. I've got to do some explaining because
what's the explaining to do?
There's just a lot. Again? No, there's just a lot of happening in here. But Steve Hilton is, of course, the host of The Next Revolution on Fox News Channel. And you can see that 6 o'clock on the West Coast, Fox News every Sunday. And he is the host of The Steve Hilton Show, available wherever you get your podcasts. Steve, good morning to you. I have to apologize terrible introduction. So I started the show with a cup of coffee. And I look over and realize that the cup had actually sprung a leak. And so I had a little river of coffee that I was floating through, like kayaking through, which I cleaned up. But I forgot that I moved my mouse away so that I wouldn't blow anything up in the studio. And so in order to answer the phone, I thought, wait a second, where did I put that thing? It was on higher ground, let's just say, to avoid the coffee flood. So good morning. I apologize.
Fantastic. That sounds very smart. It sounds like you should be in charge of the California sort of Environmental Resources Department.
Oh, I am.
Sort of water flows and everything like that. You do a better job than whatever we have now.
I am in charge of all flooding in California. The flooding of good ideas, not bad. Now, this story I pushed aside for you, Steve, because I think it is just so indicative of the times in California. So you come to Studio City quite often. You come to Los Angeles. There is a Starbucks in Studio City that is now, it's taken all the chairs. It took all the tables and the chairs out of their facility on Ventura Boulevard, and they're only allowing to-go orders. Now, they're not saying why they did it, but I think we can all guess why the chairs disappeared from Starbucks, and that's because people are probably living in the dining room, squatting in the dining room, who knows what else. They don't want anybody loitering. They just want people in and out.
Well, yeah, and then they'll be at the actual In-N-Out. I mean, it's just a nightmare, isn't it? It's just one thing after another. And by the way, at the same time that we're hearing more and more announcements of more and more money to deal with the homelessness problem, that is just totally taking over not just the cities like L.A., it's everywhere. That's the problem. It is just hilarious. And these are the people that talk about compassion, the Democrats who are in charge. These are the people who say, yeah, we know how to run government, and lecturing all the other states, as Newsom does. I mean, and the daily life, people can see that this is what's happening. And it's because, remember why this is happening. It's not just because we have some unique problem in California that means that we have to put up with this homelessness everywhere to the point where every business has to deal with it. And we've talked about the way, wasn't it also on Ventura Boulevard where you had the people outside the restaurant?
Yes, living and dying, literally on the street. Somebody had a dead person in their parking lot.
I mean, we've got so used to it. But actually, it's really interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine who lived here for a few years and then left the country with his family to live somewhere else, and they've just come back for a business trip just this week, actually, after being a year away, and was talking about Los Angeles and was somewhere and saying that, and he was in a parking lot, and he was just making a call. He'd got a coffee. It was probably Starbucks. And just looking around, in actually a nice part of Los Angeles, but the filth and the squalor around him. And he was saying that where he is now, which is actually in Australia, he said the worst, most disgusting, most dirty part of Australia he can think of where he lives is cleaner and more wholesome and nice than this in L.A. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's becoming a trash heap.
And we get used to it.
Yeah.
But we mustn't get used to it. This is unacceptable.
I would offer, I'm not used to it. It makes me sick every time I see it. It really does. And then I think to myself, this could be fixed if they really put their minds to it. But instead, they have all of these woke ideas of how to fix things. And this pie in the sky deal that, you know, if you give everybody a hotel room, they're miraculously going to cure themselves of drug addiction.
That story, I mean, everything about that story was so insane, which is that this is the ballot initiative that the unions are trying to push, isn't it, for LA, which is that you're going to give – it's not just the idea that you're going to give hotel rooms to homeless people who have severe drug addiction and mental health problems, which means that it'll do absolutely nothing to actually solve the problem. It's also the madness of how they expect this scheme to work. This is on the ballot next year, which is that every hotel in Los Angeles is supposed to call the city council by 2 p.m., and yeah. tell them how many rooms they
That's
have available.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, this is insane. Only a totally demented bureaucrat who's never run a business, never been anywhere near running a business, could come up with a scheme like this. And the other thing we just always have to remember, and this we've got to take it on head on, is that the cause of all of this is this policy that they give this lovely name to, Housing First. Right? We've got to take that on head on, because Housing First, which sounds good, and sounds, yeah, of course, makes sense. Housing First, give them a house. What it actually means is that it is illegal to treat people's drug addiction, which is the primary cause of persistent homelessness. It is illegal. You cannot get state money for any kind of homelessness program if you try to offer an abstinence-based service along with that. That's the heart of the
problem. It's infuriating. Because we know, I mean, we've talked about this a bazillion times. That's the scientific term, because I am the head of the EPA here in California. but we've talked about this so much, Stephen Grant, that homelessness is a multifaceted problem, right? Yes, housing is incredibly expensive. It's almost impossible to buy a house as a first-time buyer in California. You get really lucky when you can do that. That's a problem. So, yes, housing is an issue, but by and large, it is mental illness and, more importantly, drug addiction. And the fact that there's no law and order that actually enforce the no camping rules that we have on our streets. And so it's that whole culmination of problems where a hotel room key is not going to be the answer. And meanwhile, you've got Gavin Newsom, who's worried about Ron DeSantis in Florida. He's worried about what Target is selling in their kids' clothing department and all these other things, when he should be focusing on human suffering.
Exactly. But it's as if they've given up on actually governing California or trying to solve our problems. And it's all this kind of endless political virtue signaling and sending messages to the base and the activists who now control the party, that we've got the right kind of, we're on the right side of whatever issue it may be, and just constantly attacking, obsessed with Ron DeSantis, actually, and obsessed with other red states while his own state collapses. I mean, you know, just one statistic that we just don't forget, this because the foundation of everything in our state is the economy, and we need businesses to be here creating jobs and wealth for the future. We are 50th out of 50 states on the climate for business. That's why so many companies are leaving. If that continues, they're so complacent. You hear Democrats saying, well, it can't be that bad. We're the fourth biggest economy in the world now. Yeah, that is the legacy of decades of having a positive business climate that led to these great industries like aerospace and whatever you think of Hollywood, the entertainment industry and the tech industry. They're all leaving. They're just completely complacent that this money will just keep coming in, and they can keep taking it from us, and these enormous, unbelievable tax rates.
Steve, real quick.
And then just keep spending the money on waste and wasting it on nothing, and it's all going to keep rolling in. It's not.
As we come up to the end of the break here, what do you think happens for the business climate in California? I mean, already it seems to be dead, but you still got Hollywood here in L.A. You've still got many businesses that are still calling California home, especially, as you mentioned, the tech industry. Do we get to a point where everybody leaves?
I think that is where we're headed. I think we need to confront this. And this is, I think, the opportunity for change, is to say, look, unless we have a complete overhaul in this state, right, of the business climate, taxes, attitudes towards crime, the quality of life issues, and actually you're completely right, Jen, about housing. That is a massive issue. It's just separate from the street addiction issue, that we've got to deal with that as well, because that's a massive contributor to the cost of living. That's another reason everyone's leaving, because their employees can't afford to live near where they work. So these are massive, massive problems that need to be faced head on, and it's never going to happen under these far-left extremist Democrats who just don't care about any of this practical, real-world stuff. All they care is about picking fights with red states.
It's not helpful to the people living here trying to get by. That's for sure. Steve Hilton, always fun to talk to you because we get to the heart of the matter, right? A little common sense for California. It wouldn't hurt anybody. Give him a follow right now at Steve Hilton X on social media. You're going to want to be there. And of course, the next revolution this Sunday at 6 o'clock on Fox News Channel, and download the Steve Hilton Show wherever you get your podcasts. And he's here with us each Friday. Thanks so much, Steve. Have a great weekend.
And you see you soon.
See you soon. All right, as we continue, there is a zero bail policy back rolling through Los Angeles. And one city councilwoman says she has the fix to the homeless crisis we've been speaking about. All is your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.